Wednesday, March 1st, 2017. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every single Wednesday, but we don't really do it like anyone else. We try to be informative. We hope that you actually learn something while you are here. And we'd rather bring some common sense about how sports actually work. And hopefully, you know, while you're driving, or maybe while you work in your little cubicle, or you're running on the treadmill, or wherever it is that you listen to the show, maybe we can make you laugh once or twice. If you'd like to recommend the podcast, and we would appreciate that so, so much, please let your friends, your family, your coworkers know. They can subscribe to it pretty much anywhere that podcasts are hosted. Of course, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Republic, Google Play, Audio Boom. You can go over to blogtalkradio.com and you can pretty much find every episode that we have ever done. Or you can head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com, where you will also find new articles every single week. And we do put a link to the podcast there. This week, what went up this week? An article about youth sports actually went up this week. You might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check that out. An interesting story that the Daily Dose was able to break considering some youth sports. Also, be sure to stop by our podcast network, rogueintel.com. Of course, Rogue Intel is a family of podcasts, and if you head over there, you're going to find some different podcasts that you will be addicted to, you'll be going back to and listening to each and every week. Make sure you stop by rogueintel.com. If you've got a question, maybe you have a comment, maybe you have some feedback, maybe you would like to let us know about something, we'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on any subject. You can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can find us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, we are going to have to talk a little bit about the Oscar Awards. Of course, the Oscar Awards took place on Sunday night. Might have to discuss those just a little bit and give our picks for the sports movies of the year. Of course, the Oscars focuses on some other things. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we here at the Daily Dose, we would like to actually give you our picks for sports movies of the year. You may have heard of a couple of them, but we'll give you a couple movies that you might be interested in checking out. Plus, Major League Baseball is getting a little bit nervous. We will tell you why. You know, college football has a couple of scandals going. Seems like that's always the case, doesn't it? Might have to touch on some NFL. Few interesting things going on in the NFL, and we will have to talk some college hoops and a few NBA moves that happened, or in some cases actually didn't happen. And as always, be sure that you stick around for our Daily Dose Top 5. The Daily Dose Top 5 always has a mind of its own, and you never want to miss that. Of course, the 89th annual Oscar Awards took place on Sunday night. What'd you think of the Oscar Awards? Of course, you had the big controversy at the end. But you know, there's nothing like a room full of these self-righteous blowhards telling us how we should all live. I always love that. I always love Hollywood, you know, getting all high and mighty on us and letting us know, here's what you people ought to be doing. All you common folk out there, this is what you should be doing. Always nice. These idiots can't even give the correct award to the correct winner, and they're telling us how we should be living our lives. Not sure I'm going to be listening to that exactly. Here is my problem with the Oscars, and I'll be honest, I have a million of them, but I'll give you just a few. I'll give you a few problems that I have. First off, let's be real clear about the Oscar Awards, okay? Let's be real honest. They don't vote for the best movie. They certainly don't vote for the most entertaining movie or even the truly best performance, right? I mean, Meryl Streep wins an Oscar every single time she, like, goes to the bathroom. Let me ask you this. Which one of Meryl Streep's movies is your favorite? You know what? Never mind. I won't even go there. Let me ask you this. Which one of Meryl Streep's movies have you ever even seen? Like, have you seen any of them?
Oh, that Meryl Streep. She's such a phony baloney.
Well, now, I don't know if that's necessary, but I get what you're saying, at least. You know, it's a million times harder to make someone laugh than to make someone cry. Like, it's hard. Name the last time, though, that a comedy won anything. It doesn't happen. And they won't do anything. They'll never win anything. And you know why? Because the Oscar Awards doesn't care about talent. They don't care about performance. What they do is they vote for what movies that they think you need to see, not what's actually good. I mean, how does a movie like Deadpool not even get a nomination? Oh, that's right. Because it isn't saying anything poignant or anything political. It's not quite eccentric enough for the Oscar Awards to nominate it for anything. Now, here at the Daily Dose, we could do that. I could give you our Daily Dose sports Oscar choices, and I could pick some crappy movie no one's ever heard of that's about like doing yoga on the Great Wall of China during a snowstorm or some nonsense like that that no one would care about, right? But we actually try to pick out some movies that are worth your time to watch. And I'll be honest, they are all very popular. A couple of them you may have seen. A couple of them you may have heard about. I bet you haven't seen all of them, though. We'll see. If you've seen all of the ones that I give you, I'd like to hear from you. Let me know. And it isn't that we're trying to make a statement. It's just that, I'm going to be honest, usually the most popular sports movies kind of suck. I don't know how else to say that, but it's totally true. So here are our 2017 Daily Dose Oscars for the best sports movies of the year. Are you ready? Number 5. You know, I hate to do this, and I've got to kind of lump all these in, but I got to give one of these to just the 30 for 30 series, and I'm going to lump a few of them in here. If you haven't seen Phi Slamma Jamma, the story of the 80s Houston basketball team that had Akeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, that one is very good. When you see how Akeem Olajuwon ended up at Houston, because he flew into New York, I believe it was. He was looking at possibly going to St. John's. And when he saw the weather there, he was like, I'm going to freeze to death here. He's coming from Nigeria. And so he asks, like a baggage handler, hey, what's the closest weather to Nigeria? I've got a few schools here that are interested. Of all of these schools, which one has the weather that would be closest to Nigeria? And the guy points him to Houston. And he ends up going to Houston. And, of course, having a phenomenal career there. But the Phi Slamma Jamma 30 for 30 is definitely worth watching. But there are a couple others. Catholics versus Convicts, about the 1988 Miami versus Notre Dame game. That was a very, very interesting one. A few stories, a few sidebars in that I wasn't aware of. The 85 Bears was actually better than I thought it would be. The 85 Bears, of course, we remember what amazing defense that was. But the fact that they only won one Super Bowl, and it kind of goes into why they only won one Super Bowl, kind of goes into why there were divisions within that team. Any of those 30 for 30s are worth your time. They are playing on ESPN. Set the DVR. You will not be disappointed. That is our number 5. Our number 4, Daily Dose Sports Oscar choices. If you have listened to the Daily Dose for very long, then you know that me personally, I prefer sports documentaries. Hollywood doesn't know sports. They don't understand sports. They make a mockery of sports. But here is a non-documentary that came out this past year. If you haven't seen it, Eddie the Eagle, it's actually pretty decent. Eddie the Eagle is the true story of Eddie Edwards, the first competitor since 1929 to represent Great Britain in the Olympic ski jumping. He competed at Calgary in the 88 Olympics. It's pretty entertaining. And it truly is an amazing story. And yes, of course, Hollywood felt compelled to spice it up when they didn't need to, but it is still worth your time to watch Eddie the Eagle. Check that out. I think it's currently airing on HBO here and there, but I'm sure that you can find that easy enough. Number 3. Now, this one is a little older. Most of the ones I'm giving to you have come out in the last, right around the last year. This one is maybe a year older, but it is currently on Netflix, and it's actually a documentary that follows the year after the Jerry Sandusky sex abuse case at Penn State. And it just shows how the scandal split the town of Happy Valley into two different camps. There was the, we support Joe Paterno no matter what camp. And then there was the, anyone who was ever involved with Penn State football in any way, shape, or form should get the electric chair camp. There isn't really that much in the way of like gory details. It's not really about the sex case itself. It's more of the aftermath and just how it affected the people in the actual town where Penn State is. It's actually pretty good. That one would be worth watching. Like I said, it is on Netflix right now. You might want to check out Happy Valley. Pretty good one. Number 2, I'm a little embarrassed to put this one on there. I'm going to be honest. I'm a little bit embarrassed to put this one on there because it did win Best Documentary in the Oscars on Sunday night. But OJ Made in America, it was the documentary from ESPN on the OJ Simpson trial. It's a 5-part series. I'll be very, very honest. I started OJ Made in America and I had two things in mind when I started it. First, I'm going to watch this for about 5 minutes and then I'm going to turn it off. And second, I already know everything about the trial. Like, I watched the trial. I remember the trial. I remember the Bronco chase. I remember all that stuff. I'll be honest, I was dead wrong on both counts. I ended up binge watching OJ Made in America in like a day, maybe a second day. And I actually did learn a lot about the trial that I didn't know. A number of things that came out in this documentary that I just hadn't heard before. A number of different angles and a number of different ways that the court trial went. A few different things about OJ's past and a few different things that we learn about him and Nicole. Some of those things that came out in OJ Made in America, it was pretty solid. That's actually pretty well done. I would assume that you could probably find that on demand somewhere on ESPN every once in a while. But OJ Made in America, pretty good documentary. The number one movie on our Daily Dose Oscar Award winning movies. You've probably never heard of it. I'll be honest with you. It's on Netflix. But I'm telling you right now, it is very, very good. It is called Unchained, The Untold Story of Freestyle Motocross. It's narrated by Josh Brolin. Unchained is the story of how freestyle motocross, you know, motorcycle motocross, actually came to exist. If you have ever seen a group of videos, and they're kind of cult videos, like they're not really out there that much. They were like VHS tapes when they came out. They were called Krusty Demons. But you would see how these motocross racers would just go ride in these like desolate areas like Indio or like Beaumont, California, and they're doing these insane jumps, these just crazy things they were doing on these motorcycles. And what the documentary shows was it shows how those videos kind of evolved into freestyle motocross, because these guys were the racers. They weren't supposed to be doing this stuff. In fact, a number of the motorcycle companies found out they were doing these things, and they were kind of, you know, flipping out, because they're like, hey, you're our guy, you're our rider, you can't be going and doing these crazy videos. But it actually turned into its own thing, and freestyle motocross made its way into like the X Games. I mean, it's very, very popular, and it's actually a very highly entertaining documentary that they show. And I'll be honest, it is kind of edge of your seat excitement. Some of it is absolutely hilarious. Some of the wrecks that they have, some of the crashes are insane, and the things that these guys do on motorcycles is absolutely nuts. But I'm telling you right now, Unchained, The Untold Story of Freestyle Motocross, it's on Netflix right now. It is well worth your time to watch it. Go watch it. You can thank me later. It is very, very good. Daytona 500 took place on Sunday. Let me ask you a question. What took longer to get started on Sunday? The Oscar Awards or Daytona? Because like the pregame, the pre-show, the red carpet, for both the Oscars and Daytona, like they're getting up to like 4 hours, I think. By the time the actual event starts, like I don't even remember what it is I've tuned in for. It's like Super Bowl coverage every single time one of these NASCAR races gets ready to go. And then the race actually started. Was it a good race? I don't know. There's a lot of crashes. Like a lot. I haven't seen that many crashes since Hillary supporters were jumping off of buildings back in November. Kurt Busch won the race, and he only led like 3 laps, but he led the right ones. I thought the more interesting part was the fact that car owner Tony Stewart actually got his first win. You know, he just retired like a year ago, and he's already off to a good start as an owner. Daytona, it's that time of year, folks. Sundays are getting a little rough. So you might have had to tune into Daytona and watch cars go round in circles for a while. You know, Major League Baseball, starting to get pretty worried. Not sure if you've seen this. We've talked about it a little bit on The Dose. But this past week, Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred has been trying to convince the players' union and the league that they need to make changes to speed up play. We've talked about some of the things that they are discussing. How to get the game sped up, because it's a slow game and they play at a really slow pace. Like it's already slow and then they make it even slower. But here's the thing. Here's why Manfred is pushing for changes. It's not just an accident that he's like, oh yeah, maybe we ought to speed that up. That'd be really good. It's not an accident that he's pushing for changes. I'll tell you why he's pushing for changes. Because the Major League Baseball TV contract is coming due in 2020. And he knows right now that contract isn't looking so good, which is kind of bizarre. Considering the amazing postseason they just had with the Cubs beating the Indians, Game 7, all the excitement that was around the game. But like I said, the game is too slow. And Manfred knows kids don't watch baseball. I've got news for you. They might have watched Game 7. They might have watched a little bit of that. Kids, as a whole, do not watch baseball. And that's not me saying that. That's the numbers. And so Rob Manfred is wanting to make these changes now in hopes that he can raise viewership in the next few years. Because otherwise, the TV contracts come due. And everyone goes, well, like Fox, we're not going to really spend that much. Like, our demographic numbers show there's not that many young kids watching this. And in a few years, we sign this contract for 10 or 15 years. Those 50 and 60-year-olds that are watching this are now 70 and 80. We don't care about them. We want the teens and 20s watching this. And numbers show they don't watch it. So Manfred is trying to make those changes and trying to get some things moving in the right direction. How can we speed up the game? How can we keep these games from being 4 hours long? How can we just speed up the pace? Like I said, it's already a slow game, but it's played at an even slower pace. Like, they even slow it down for what it should be. And the funny thing is, the Major League Baseball Players Union is, like, balking at all the changes. Like, they're just like, nope, nope, we don't want any of these changes. Which is funny, because you just know the Players Union will be the ones complaining the loudest when that lowball TV deal comes in. They'll be like, why didn't we do something? Why didn't we make changes? Why didn't anybody tell us? You know that's coming. Here's the thing. Rob Manfred, I know he's a smart guy. He has to be a smart guy, doesn't he? He's the commissioner of Major League Baseball. But it doesn't seem like he's that bright. Because here's the thing. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to institute, really, that many changes. You don't have to put runners on, like, second base in extra innings. You don't have to, like, start with a ball and a strike or these automatic intentional walks. Have you seen that's what they're talking about? Instead of walking a guy, throwing the four pitches, you just make a signal, whatever the signal is to the umpire, that says, we want to walk this guy, and he just sends the guy to first base. Okay. How many times in a game do you walk somebody? How long does it take to walk somebody? It's not like I go back and get any signals or have any kind of a discussion with my catcher. I just walk back and throw four balls. So what does that save us? Like 45 seconds? That's why people are tuning out. We trimmed off that 45 seconds. Stop being silly. That's nonsense. We don't have to do any of that stuff. Here's the thing that Major League Baseball needs to do. Just enforce the rules that are already in place. Do you realize that Major League Baseball, currently, they don't need to vote on this. They don't have to approve this. They currently have a rule in place that the batter is not allowed to leave the box. If you do, it's an automatic strike. When was the last time you saw that enforced? No one enforces it. It never gets enforced. When bases are unoccupied, did you know that a pitcher has 12 seconds to deliver a pitch? That is straight out of the Major League Baseball rulebook. That is rule 8.04. The penalty is an automatic ball. If you have not delivered that pitch in 12 seconds, that's a ball. And rule 8.05 says if runners are on base and he unnecessarily delays the game, that is an automatic balk. All runners advance. Here's the thing, Rob Manfred. You don't need to get any new rules. Just enforce the rules you already have. Forget asking the players' union for anything. The players' union, we always know. Pretty much across the board, when you're dealing with a players' union, you're kind of dealing with the lowest common denominator, right? They complain about everything. They whine about everything. They never want to fix anything. Forget asking the players' union. Just start enforcing the rules as they are. And then tell the players' union, hey, you know what? We tried to work with you and you guys wouldn't work with us. We're going to enforce the rules that are already there. It's not that difficult. Major League Baseball is making it way, way harder than it should be. You know, the baseball regular season starts, what, April 2nd? April 1st? April Fool's Day? I don't know. Should be April Fool's Day. And I only tell you that because you know that baseball isn't going to say anything. They're not going to come out like NFL does. Here's our opening day. They don't really do that. They'll be like, oh, hey, tomorrow baseball starts. Just want you to know. They don't really do that. But I'm telling you, I think it's April 2nd. I don't think it's April Fool's Day. I think that would be just too perfect. I think it's April 2nd. Major League Baseball regular season starts. It's coming. And baseball better figure some things out. We might have to have our resident baseball expert, John, come in and talk a little bit of baseball with us. Let's switch over to college football. Remember last spring on NFL draft night when that video surfaced of Ole Miss offensive tackle Laramie Tunsil smoking weed in the big gas mask? And then my man was supposed to be like a top three pick, but he dropped to number 13. And when he dropped, he did his press conference and he threw the Ole Miss football program right under the bus, saying how the coaching staff was paying his bills for him. And at the time, here on the Daily Dose, we actually talked about that a little bit. And we were saying how as those words were coming out of his mouth, like the coaching staff paid, NCAA investigators are already jumping in their cars and driving to Oxford. Looks like we weren't wrong. Last week, Ole Miss placed a self-imposed bowl ban on the football program. Self-imposed. Nothing to see here, folks. We got this. Don't worry about this. Now the NCAA has been investigating a little bit further, and they have found a number of violations. And the NCAA is starting to lob out phrases like lack of institutional control. Oh. Yeah, it looks like boosters were paying players somewhere between like $13,000 and $15,000. Now, the problem is one of those players they were paying actually signed somewhere else and then ratted out Ole Miss saying, well, they were paying me. Look, Ole Miss has sucked for years. And then suddenly under Hugh Freeze, they got really good. I think we all knew something was up, right? Like, it wasn't like they just, oh, I don't know, they just turned the switch on and now they're good. I think we knew something was going. Look, I get it. Everyone in college football, in big-time college athletics, especially football and basketball, the moneymakers, is cheating. If you're winning at that level, I don't care what you're saying. I don't care how you're spinning it. There's a pretty good chance you're doing something that's against the rules. And I don't care who you are. Washington, USC, Notre Dame, Texas, Michigan, Florida State, Miami, Penn State. I don't care who it is. You're probably cheating and doing something that is against the rules. Here's the difference. Ole Miss got caught. And head coach Hugh Freeze, he's going to end up losing his job. Like, it's just a matter of time. There's no way he's going to hold on to this. And you always hear the phrase death penalty thrown out. I don't think the NCAA will ever do that again. You just can't do it. It completely destroys the football program. I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm telling you right now, Ole Miss is going to take it on the chin. But I do like this. I do like that self-imposed bowl ban. Like, that's pretty brass. You realize it isn't a bowl ban when you actually can't make it to a bowl, right? Can't you just see the big wigs at Ole Miss kind of scheming about this? Like, maybe it's a few coaches, athletic director, president, something like that. And they're like, hey, fellas, I don't know what we're going to do. They have got the goods on us. They've got proof. Boosters are paying players. They've got a number of players that have turned us in. We have got some problems. What should we do? You know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't think we're going to make it to a bowl game this year. Should we just self-impose a bowl ban? That's genius. That's exactly what we should do. Hey, guys, we got a self-imposed bowl ban. Yeah, we had a few problems, but don't worry about it. We're self-imposing a bowl ban. We weren't going to a bowl game anyways. Ah, this is brilliant. You should be in politics, my friend. That is amazing. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. The NCAA isn't going to do any kind of death penalty, but I do expect Ole Miss to take some pretty big hits from this. It's going to hurt, and it's going to knock them back 4-5 years before they can recover, before they can probably get competitive again. Speaking of geniuses, Oklahoma Sooners quarterback Baker Mayfield was arrested early Saturday morning and charged with public intoxication, disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and fleeing. In fact, the cop that arrested him had to run him down and tackle him after Mayfield took off and ran away from him. I've got a few questions about this, but I guess question number one, any chance Oklahoma State can sign that cop? Because they haven't tackled Baker Mayfield in the last 2 seasons. You know, Baker's coming back to Oklahoma for one more season. He still has this next year he's going to go. He probably could have went and bid kind of a middling draft choice. He is going back to OU. Probably not the best start, though. Baker, you might want to slow down. Because Baker Mayfield, anytime you're doing things that are making Johnny Manziel proud, might be time to reevaluate those life choices. Hey, the NFL offseason is officially upon us. The NBA trade deadline has come and gone. Plus, we do have an Oscar-flavored Daily Dose Top 5. We will be right back.
Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are. In the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case,
and I'm a princess.
And I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com. Think of the tender things
that we were working on. Hi, guys. It's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. you can listen to Round Trip at rogueintel.com.
I say, boy, every time I gotta go get new boxing gloves for that daggone chicken hawk, I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. And I get him the bestest boxing gloves that Amazon can buy. Look at that, he's hitting that dog. That is the dumbest dog I've ever seen.
So like I said before, the NFL offseason is officially here. Sundays officially suck. And now, starting a week, 2 weeks ago, teams can designate their franchise players. That allows teams to keep their best players by tagging them as a franchise player, and then it lets them try to get a long-term deal reached with that player. There's some pretty big free agents out there that are going to be named. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they've got Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, obviously, with what the Steelers do, I expect him to get tagged very, very soon. Kansas City Chiefs have safety Eric Berry. We know of the health issues that he had. Now he is back playing very, very well. The Chiefs are going to have to make a decision with Eric Berry. The Washington Redskins have Kirk Cousins. What do you do with Kirk Cousins? Do you tag him as a franchise player? Do you tag him as a franchise player, get a long-term deal reached with him, and then trade him? I don't know what they're going to do with him. The New England Patriots have a few players that they've got to deal with. The Patriots have Dante Hightower and tight end Martellus Bennett. You'll remember, the Patriots probably don't win the Super Bowl this year without Dante Hightower. When he had the strip sack against Matt Ryan, that is what actually got the Patriots rolling. Martellus Bennett. Hey, the Patriots don't have that many receivers. They need the ones they do have. Can they afford to lose Martellus Bennett? They might have to tag one of those guys. The New York Giants have Jason Pierre-Paul. I would think he's got to be a pretty high priority for the Giants, doesn't he? Like, he's got to be their number one priority. I don't know if he can sign the contract legibly, but he's got to be a pretty high priority for them. The Arizona Cardinals look like they are going to be tagging Chandler Jones. They've also got Calais Campbell, though. So the Cardinals have some decisions to be made. The deadline to tag these guys is today, Wednesday. Wednesday, March 1st is the deadline. You've got to tag those guys by today. Then that buys you some time until like July 15th or something to get a long-term deal reached with that player. But who gets the tag, who doesn't get the tag over the next few weeks, it's going to be interesting to watch. And you know, over the next few weeks, we may have to start looking at which free agents are going to be on the market. Because some of the guys I just named aren't going to get that tag. And there's actually some other free agents out there. They're not necessarily a franchise type of player, but there's some pretty good players that are going to need to be signed somewhere. Now, if you want to go sign some free agents, you're going to need some money, right? It's expensive. These guys want some guaranteed money. They want some upfront money, but who actually has money and who doesn't have money? Okay, just to try to put this in some perspective, you usually need... Just kind of keep this number in the back of your mind. You usually need about $5 million to sign your draft class. So typically you go out there, you have 7 to 10, maybe there's a little more, maybe there's a little less, draft picks that you have. You need around $4 to $5 million to get those guys signed. So just keep that in the back of your mind. You need that cushion to sign your draft picks, right? Now, of course, this can change because you can cut a player and free up some money. You'll eat some dead salary cap money, but you can free up some money. So right now, as things stand, the Dallas Cowboys are set to have probably about the least amount of cap space of any team in the NFL. They're about to have about $6 million in cap space as things stand right now. They need 4 to 5 to sign the draft picks. Wonder what they could be looking at. Wonder if they could be looking at maybe making some cuts. Remember, we talked about Tony Romo. We talked about the issues that he causes for them because he's due to make a pretty good chunk of money this year. And yes, they would have to eat some salary cap dead money, but that would free up some money to go sign some other free agents. The Kansas City Chiefs, right around $4 to $5 million. Same thing. Look for the Kansas City Chiefs. Look for the Dallas Cowboys. Some cuts may be coming. They may be guys that it might not necessarily just be the Tony Romos. There could be some other guys getting cut. They're going to try to free up some money. The Philadelphia Eagles, they've got about $11 million. You figure you're 5 or 6 to sign your draft picks, and then, yeah, you want to go get somebody else? you might have to cut some people to free up some money. Now, you hear those numbers and you say, well, that's, you know, that's tough. Those teams are going to be strapped. They're going to have to cut some players. And that's true. But, you know, it isn't always a recipe for success to have a ton of cap space. Think about some of the teams that have the most money right now in the NFL to spend. Here are the teams with the most money. The Cleveland Browns have around $108 million to spend. They've got money because they don't have any players. The San Francisco 49ers, they've got almost $82 million to spend. The Jacksonville Jaguars have around $73 million to spend. But here's the catch, because you know there's a catch. Because otherwise you look at this and you say, well, the Cleveland Browns, $108 million. They should just go sign every good free agent that's out there and just totally rebuild their team. Yeah, that's not how it works. That's not how any of this stuff works. Here's the catch 22 on all this. You're the Cleveland Browns, or you're the Niners, or you're the Jaguars, or one of these teams that struggles. You're the Browns. You suck. Like, you monumentally suck, and everyone knows it. So free agents don't want to come play for you. And in order to get them to come play for you, you have to overpay what they truly should get. You've got to way overpay them to come. Now, the great ones, I mean, let's be honest, the great ones aren't going to come. And I don't mean that they're free agents this year, but like, you're not getting any of the true great players. Like the Tom Brady's and the Russell Wilson's and the Von Miller's, they want to play for a real contender. They don't want to go through a rebuilding process. So they're never going to go to the Cleveland Browns. They're never going to go with the way things stand, like the San Francisco 49ers, the Jacksonville. You're not getting those guys. You have no chance of getting those guys. So what you end up doing, not only do you end up overpaying, you end up overpaying for that next tier of player. Like, you end up overpaying for, remember that one outside linebacker? He's pretty good, but I mean, he's not like Khalil Mack. I mean, he's okay. Yet you're going to pay him about three times as much as what he deserves, because no one else will come. And so it's your only hope. Until you start to show that your franchise has changed, no one is going to come play for you at some of these destinations. It doesn't matter how much money the Browns and the Jaguars and the Niners, it makes no difference how much money they have. Nobody's coming to play for them. You don't want to go there. You know how bad they are. And not only are they bad, it seems like bad situations. Meddlesome owners. Coaches always getting fired. Organization that isn't run top notch. Why would you want to go play there? I don't care how much money you have. I don't want to go play there if I truly want to go compete for a championship. So you end up getting the B-level players, you pay them like an A-level player, and they don't really produce, and they don't really care. They're going to come in, soak up that contract, try not to get hurt, and try to go somewhere else and play for a ring with another franchise, because they don't care. Hey, sorry, good luck. That's just kind of the state of the NFL today. Something to keep in mind, not this coming Sunday, not the 5th, but March 12th, Sunday, March 12th, is already Selection Sunday for the NCAA tournament. That's coming fast. Like, that's coming really fast. You know, conference tournaments are beginning later this week. Few conference tournaments that are beginning this week already, coming this weekend. The Horizon, the America East, Atlantic Sun, the Big South, the Colonial, the MAC, Missouri Valley, Ohio Valley, Patriot, Southern, and West Coast, all of those tournaments get started this week. You will have some good things to watch for the next few weeks. You sit there and say, well, what do I care about the Patriot League? You're going to see basically single elimination tournaments from now on with these tournaments starting. Because most of these tournaments, if you don't win that tournament, you're not going to the dance. So it is single elimination from here on out. For the next few weeks, we've got some really, really good stuff to start watching. Tickets to the big dance will be punched. Then, of course, next week, the bigger conferences, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the SEC, the ACC, those tournaments will get going, and then we will get our tournament brackets on Sunday, March 12th. Honestly, you know, football just ending, you're kind of in a little bit of a lull here with NBA. This, though, once college basketball really starts getting into that March Madness time of year, really, really fun time of year for sports. You know, we had some upsets this week in college hoops. Of course, Gonzaga got knocked off by BYU at home, and that's probably going to end their chances to get a number one overall seed. It might, depending on how everybody else does. That could knock Gonzaga out from being a one seed at all, because their schedule is just so soft. It's going to be hard to give them a one when some of these other teams are playing such a tough schedule. I don't know if you can give Gonzaga a one. I watched most of that Gonzaga-BYU game, and BYU just knows how to play Gonzaga. Now, here's the one thing, and I know some of these guys from BYU go on their missions, but if you look at like the starting lineup for BYU, why do most of their players look like 40-year-old men? Like that little point guard, the ginger kid, he looks like he should be like my tax accountant. Look at that kid. I'm not even kidding. You go on your mission, and then like you go on your mission, and then you get a job for the IRS, and then you work for 20 years, and then you come back and play basketball? Because that's what it looks like. Not sure if that's how that went. Central Florida beat number 15 Cincinnati. Cincinnati trying to get themselves in position for maybe a 2 or a 3 seed. That's going to hurt. Iowa State beat number 9 Baylor. I told you, I don't have any faith in Baylor. Every time they play even a halfway decent opponent, it seems like I see Baylor get beat. Miami beat Duke. Watch some of that game. Duke, still a team that doesn't know how to play hard all the time. I know they're young. They're inexperienced. You know, this tournament is going to be wide open. And I know that it is most years. But I really feel like this year, you could have some pretty big shakeups. And I'll tell you why. Because of the inexperience of the most talented players. Like, we know who the most talented players are, right? You look at teams like Duke. You look at Kentucky. They have a ton of talent, but they aren't experienced, and you can't get experienced. And I know that a lot of the experts, and you're going to hear this when the brackets come out, they're going to talk about Duke and Kentucky, and they're going to say things like, yeah, you know, Duke and Kentucky, they're inexperienced, but remember, those freshmen are no longer freshmen. Now they're sophomores. Well, that's fabulous, but they're not playing sometimes other sophomores, because when you look at some of these other teams, they're not sophomores. I'll give you a few examples. You may have a less talented veteran team knock off some of these really talented teams. Princeton is a veteran team. Princeton is a team loaded with seniors. And yes, I know it's Ivy League basketball. Princeton is loaded and experienced. They're not going to be nervous when they walk into the big dance. And I fully expect them to be there. Of course, St. Mary's. We've talked about St. Mary's on the Dose before. That is a team of returning starters, a team of returning seniors. St. Mary's can do it all. They can rebound. They can pound you inside. They can shoot outside. St. Mary's is a team with experience. I'll give you another team. Monmouth in the MAC. Keep an eye on that team. Loaded with seniors. Loaded with experience. They've been to the dance before. Texas Arlington down in the Sun Belt. Don't be surprised if you see one of these kind of teams that is full of seniors go very, very deep and knock off some of the more favored, some of the more popular, some of the more talented, but young, inexperienced teams when we get to the dance. Because March Madness is always, always amazing. It is the one major sporting event that lives up to the hype every single year. But it is wide open this year. There is not that team that you look at that you just go, no, that's the big dog favorite. If you had to pick the favorite for the tournament right now, who did you pick? Probably Villanova. Villanova has some flaws. Villanova has been beaten. They're not unbeatable by any means. So when you look at March Madness this year, I know it's always crazy, but even the top teams, I don't know who's going to end up in the final. You're going to have a wide open March Madness this year, and it's going to be fun as it usually is. The NBA trade deadline came and went, and just as we predicted, nothing really happened. And I'm not complaining, because we had some big moves prior to the deadline, but then on the actual day of the deadline, not a whole lot going down. The Dallas Mavericks made a deal to get Nerlens Noel from Philadelphia for Andrew Bogut. And it sounds like Philadelphia will let Bogut leave, and then the Cavaliers are going to sign him. I don't know why. Bogut should do a fantastic job of holding down the Cavaliers bench, I guess. When guys stand up, he'll make sure the bench doesn't, you know, tip over or anything. I don't think he can play, can he? He's always hurt. Like, always hurt. The Denver Nuggets traded a draft pick to Milwaukee for Roy Hibbert. I think that was just to prove that this franchise cannot ever have nice things without ruining them. Now, one thing to keep in mind, when you see these trade deadline deals get done or not get done at the deadline, there are reasons that these deals fall through. There's a few reasons that the deals fall through. It's not always just one thing. One reason is that typically teams don't have enough assets to offer. You know how, like, maybe you're at work, maybe you work with somebody like this, or maybe you're at the bar with your buddies or whatever, and you always have that one clown saying, like, hey, you know, if I ran the Phoenix Suns, I would trade for Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Russell Westbrook, and, you know, I wouldn't even have to give up that much. I could get all those guys. Yeah, that's not how this works. Like, I know you did it one time when you were playing your video game, or like you were on Madden and you made this trade and you traded like three scrubs and got Tom Brady. I understand all that. But I hate to break it to you, that's not how this works. I hate to ruin your day. You know, the other team in the deal usually wants something of similar value in return. Teams are kind of funny that way. They want stuff back. They don't just like to give stuff away, you know, for free. And second, the other reason that sometimes these deals fall through, and that was the reason we saw this year at the trade deadline, one of the reasons that we saw these deals fall through, for instance, the Denver Nuggets were working on a deal with the Indiana Pacers for Paul George. They had agreed on terms with Indiana. The problem is that Paul George said he wouldn't sign a long-term deal with Denver. I mean, I don't blame him. I wouldn't sign a long-term deal with Denver either. So the deal ends up falling apart. And George is set to be a free agent this summer. He doesn't want to sign with Denver. That doesn't help him. He's sitting there going, hey, I want to be courted. I want to get the best deal. I want all these teams to come, you know, try to talk to me and try to get me to sign with them. I'm not getting married at 15 years old. I want to live a little. He's not doing that. And so sometimes that is why these deals fall through. Indiana has to be upset that this deal with Denver fell through, because it probably means Paul George is going to leave in the offseason. Indiana is going to get nothing for him. Kind of tough to lose players like that when you don't get anything in return. There are a few players in the NBA that didn't move, and they could be in the same boat very, very soon. A couple of NBA teams have some free agents coming this summer. And I would be surprised if at least a few of these guys weren't talked about on some level at the NBA trade deadline. The Los Angeles Clippers. Blake Griffin is about to be a free agent. A little bit of rumblings about Blake Griffin possibly going somewhere else. But you can see why that might not have happened. Blake Griffin, maybe he wants to stay in LA. Or maybe he doesn't want to sign a long-term deal with anybody. So he just kind of stays and says, no, let's just wait till this summer. There is some risk there, though. Because this summer, some of these guys are just going to walk away from their team and you're going to get nothing for them. The Golden State Warriors are going to have some contract things going this summer. They have Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, and Steph Curry all due for new contracts. Sacramento, of course, they just got Tyreke Evans in that trade with New Orleans. Tyreke Evans is already going to be a free agent. Now, Sacramento can try to re-sign him. Boogie Cousins, he goes down to New Orleans. He is going to be due a new deal this summer. You just went and made these trades. Sometimes these trades go through and you just say, hey, whatever. We'll just make the deal and hope for the best, and maybe this summer we can re-sign him. Some of these guys are going to walk away. They're basically just playing out 2-3 months with this team, and then they're going to go somewhere else that fast. Zach Randolph with Memphis is set to be a free agent. The Pelicans also, in addition to Boogie Cousins, they also have Drew Holiday going to be a free agent this summer. It's not a huge free agent market like we've seen in years past, when you had some of the hugest names out there. But it's going to be an interesting offseason. And remember, some of these guys that they tried to deal, you look at Paul George with Indiana. He's just going to walk away and there's nothing they can do about it. That's the end of that. A lot of times the trade deadline, though, that is how it goes down. Hey, just a quick reminder, kids. Be sure to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. And order the latest licensed collectibles, t-shirts, and home goods that are available over at Loot Crate. Remember, Loot Crate delivers pop culture crates that are filled with exclusive items and apparel from your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. You can go order a crate, or you can get a subscription of crates that comes every month. They're only like $20 or something. They're not that much. Or you can just go order individual items. You know, the March crate has been announced, and the theme for the March crate is Primal. It's got items from X-Men. It's got items from Overwatch. It's got items from Predator. And you can always go back and you can always order past crates. Maybe there was a crate that you saw a couple months ago and you're like, ah, yeah, I'm doing Christmas shopping. I don't have the money for it right now. You can go back and find that crate and order it. The best part about ordering, when you place your order, put Daily Dose, DALYDOSE, in the coupon box. You will get 10% off your order. Hey, we don't keep any of the money. Loot Crate sends us any money. We don't keep any of it. We forward anything we get to the Billy Betts Lacrosse Fund, help some kids get involved in sports. So get over there, place your order. You are going to like what you get. Plus, you're going to get some good karma for helping out some kids get involved in sports. So everybody wins. Now, as we do every single week, we've got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Of course, we talked Oscars earlier in the show. And we talked about some of the Oscars, some of what the Oscars do. they don't really like to give things to actual good movies. They like to try to make statements and try to be cute. Now, today, I want to talk just a little bit on our Daily Dose Top 5 about the worst sports movies that people think are actually good. Now, I'm not talking about the bad ones. We all know some of the bad sports movies that are out there. You got like Ladybugs. You got like Blue Chips. Some of the horrible sports movies that are out there. I'm not talking about Air Bud. Remember Air Bud? Remember that dreadful premise of a movie? And you know, I've told you on the show before, I coached high school basketball for a number of years here in Colorado. And I can remember when I was coaching, like we'd win a big game. Like maybe we win like a playoff game. We're going to the Elite Eight. We're going to the Final Four. Like you're having some success and things are rolling and you're clicking. You're like, man, we're going to go try to win a state championship. And instead of enjoying the win or celebrating the win, you would have like parents complaining about their kids' playing time. Or like their dumb kid didn't get enough shots. So like you won an overtime thriller. Everybody's celebrating. Everybody's jumping around. And you've got like that one mom like, you know, Johnny only got 4 shots today. I don't know if he did something wrong this week in practice or what? That's not what this is about. You always have that. You always have these parents whining about something. Everybody's happy except their kid didn't get enough playing time. So can you imagine for 1 second Air Bud and the parents' reaction if a freaking dog got the playing time over their kid? You have that parent coming out. Wait, Johnny sat the bench all game in the state tournament so a golden retriever could get some more minutes? Susie only got 4 shots this game because you kept running that triple screen set for that stupid dog. Is the dog getting a scholarship to college? Because that's what we're hoping for with Susie. Could Air Bud have played on a girls' team? I don't know how that works. I don't know if, were they strict on that? Like if you, Air Bud, I think he played on a boys' team, didn't he? I don't know if I watched that whole thing. I think I saw parts of it. But did Air Bud play on a boys', could he have played on a girls' team? Were the rules more strict on gender than species? Like, we're okay that you're a canine, but hey, that whole genital thing is where we draw the line. We're, like, you could play basketball on his team filled with, like, boys, but you couldn't play on a girls' team. I don't know. I don't know how strict they were in that movie. But here's the thing. I'm not talking about those truly awful, terrible movies. We all know those ones are awful. I'm talking about the movies that critics and, like, most moviegoers actually liked. Now, here's the thing. And I'm going to make a few of you mad when I throw some of these movies out there. When I say some of these movies, they might hold a special place in your heart. I'm not stepping on your movie. Well, okay, I'm totally stepping on your movie. I'm not saying not to watch the movie. I'm not saying you should hate the movie. I'm just saying these 5 movies aren't nearly as good as people say they are. And some of them are actually downright awful. So here we have this week, in honor of the Oscars, the Daily Dose Top 5 Worst Sports Movies that people actually think are pretty good. Number 5. Okay, I'm going to throw out this premise to you. A high school football player is desperately trying to get a college scholarship so that he can escape a dying Pennsylvania steel town. Okay, that sounds like a pretty decent premise, right? There's a couple problems with this movie, though. Because you might remember all the right moves back in the 80s. Here's problem number 1. Tom Cruise is the guy playing the high school football player. Now, I don't really want to go into the whole karate chopping hands thing that he does when he runs, because we've done that here on the Dose. Or the fact that, let's be honest, Tom Cruise doesn't really carry himself like an athlete. Like, he moves exactly like a theater guy. And I can't put my finger on what that is. But if I were to say, what does a theater guy move like? You would say, kind of like Tom Cruise. I don't know how. I don't know what it is. But there's something about him. That's just how he carries himself. But that isn't even what bothers me. As concerning as all of that is, I'm actually more concerned with the goofy storyline that Hollywood came up with in this movie. Okay, so Tom Cruise wants a scholarship. And like Penn State, I think it's Penn State or Pittsburgh or one of those schools. Penn State is interested in Tom Cruise. But here's the catch. Tom Cruise's head coach, played by Craig T. Nelson, doesn't like Cruise. Like, they butt heads. They argue with each other in practice or games or whatever. And Cruise talks back to him a couple times. So Craig T. Nelson tells the college recruiter from Penn State or whatever that Cruise is a jerk. You don't want to recruit him. Okay, couple problems. First off, That high school coach desperately wants his kid to go to college. It's good for him. It's good for his business. He can tell other kids, hey, I send kids to Penn State. I send kids to Pittsburgh. I send kids to Ohio State, whatever it might be. You don't go try to sabotage some kid going to college because, like, you got mad at him. I don't care where you go. I want you to go there. It looks better on my resume if you go there. Second, the recruiter could care less what the coach says. If that kid can play, I'm going to go get the kid. Oh, wait, Craig T. Nelson says that he doesn't like him. I guess I won't recruit him then. So much for that. That's kind of not really working for me. Last, okay, so Penn State gets scared off. Like, the recruiter is just like, well, I don't know. The coach said he's not very good. I guess I just won't recruit him. I know we've been watching him and filming him and scouting him, but I guess he says he's not very good. He's not very good. Okay, I'm okay with that. Let's say that that all happens. But you're telling me that, like, Pittsburgh Tech or Pittsburgh State or Pittsburgh Community College or Pittsburgh Baptist or one of those schools wouldn't be interested in Tom Cruise playing defensive back with karate chopping hands? Like, if it was the best college in the state or nothing, like, it was either Penn State or else nobody else wants you. Sorry, that was it. That was the only school that wanted you. Here's the thing, Hollywood. Either make him go to a smaller school, like, that's the gist of it. Like, yeah, he didn't go to Penn State because this coach was a jerk. So he had to go to the community college. I guess you could go that route. Or only make the smaller school recruit him. Hey, Pittsburgh Community College is recruiting you. Oh, but now they said no because the coach was a jerk, so now you don't get to go anywhere. That would have made more sense. To have it be the big school or nothing, it's just silly. Plus, I don't know if I mentioned this, but Tom Cruise karate chopping hands when he's playing defensive back. That's not going to work. That's not going to go to D1 ever. That's a bad, bad movie. Don't watch All the Right Moves. Number 4 on our list. Okay, this one got a lot of attention, and when I say this, some of you are going to get hurt feelings. Disney released it, and it had, you know, the whole racial aspect, which Hollywood loves. Hollywood loves the racial aspect. Hollywood is starting to run out of, like, racial ideas. Remember just, like, a couple of years ago, they had, like, I think it was the all-black swim team. I'm like, you guys are starting to run out of, like, when you're doing, like, the racial, like, hopscotch team, okay, you've run out of things to make movies about. You're starting to run out of ideas. This one also had Denzel Washington. Hey, can't go wrong there, can you? Pretty good. And this one was actually based on a true story. Yes, I'm talking about Remember the Titans. Now, this is based on a true story. 1971, Virginia schools were being integrated, and so they built a new school and combined two schools together. One school, primarily white, pretty good at football. One school, primarily black, pretty good at football. Again, it's not a bad premise. It's a pretty good premise for a movie. The story that this is based on is actually pretty amazing. I think it's called T.C. Williams High School, and they rolled through their schedule blowing out everybody. Like, they put it together. They were really, really good. But, you know, I get it when Hollywood decides to make a few games closer for drama. Or, like, when the rednecks throw the brick through the coach's window. Sure, these things never happened. And no, the opposing coaches weren't making racial slurs, and the refs weren't out to get them and cheating them on purpose. None of that stuff happened. In fact, I believe the closest game that T.C. Williams played all year, they won 28-0. But I understand all that. You're trying to create some drama. You're trying to make the story maybe a little bit more close, maybe a little bit more edge of your seat. I get that. But when they had that team come out dancing and singing, I just about had to throw up.
5, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Everywhere we go, everywhere we go, people want to know who we are, who we are. So we tell them, so we tell them, we are the Titans, we are the Titans.
Hey, don't do that. Don't do that, Hollywood. The story is good enough. You don't have to make it silly. You don't have to come out singing and dancing. Let me ask you this. In Remember the Titans, did the players, like, stay after practice one day and choreograph this little routine they did? Okay, here's what we're going to do. What song do you want to sing? I don't care. We can sing whatever song you want, but do we want to sing like a R&B song? What, like a rock song? Okay. So here's what we'll do. We'll sing this song. Now everybody slide here and clap your hands, and then we'll turn, and then we'll slap our legs, and then we'll turn, and then we'll clap our hands again, and then we'll put our hands. Are they like choreographing it? Like they were all organized. Like they had stayed after and they had put in work. That's not working. You come out dancing like a choreographed routine. Someone should sock the crap out of you. Remember the Titans? Like I was kind of into that movie, and then that happened. I just went, okay, it's time to leave. Time to shut this off. That's not going to work for me. Number three on our list of sports movies that people think are good, and they're not. And this one, I'm going to be honest, it might be sacrilegious for some of you. You might not like this one. Robert Redford, Robert Duvall, Wilford Brimley. Wilford Brimley, and he's not even trying to sell some oatmeal to us. But I'm telling you right now, I tried to watch The Natural recently. It's pretty rough. It doesn't hold up very well, I guess, is the best thing I can say about it. It's your typical young farm boy with an amazing gift for baseball. And then lightning strikes a tree, and our boy takes part of the tree and gets it carved into like a magic bat with a lightning bolt in it. Oh, did I mention that it's the very tree that our hero saw his father die under? Sorry, I should have mentioned that. Yeah, it's kind of cheesy. Actually, it's really cheesy. And then, yes, it weaves through a whole story and how he gets to the major leagues and what he does there. And he finally gets one last chance and the final home run. Oh, geez, it's just brutal. For one, the final at-bat that he's at, this is Robert Redford, the final at-bat takes like 30 minutes. And I'm not saying that's unrealistic. That's like how long a real at-bat in the major leagues takes. But I don't want to watch it. Like, it's way too long. But then he cracks his favorite bat on like a foul. And so he has to go get a new bat. And now you remember the magic bat with the lightning. He can't use that bat. He's got to go get a new bat. And he's got to, you know, go pick a good one or whatever he says. And then he hits the big game-winning home run. Okay, great. That's a phenomenal finish. That's outstanding. He hits the home run. There's some redeeming things there. There's some things with his dad. And there's some storylines there. I get all that. But that's not good enough for Hollywood. Hollywood has to go to a whole nother stupid level. The home run has to happen in a thunderstorm, and it has to hit the lights of the stadium and set off a chain reaction like fireworks display, and all of the lights in the entire city or something explode and fall to the ground. Yeah, does it sound cheesy? It's actually worse than what I'm describing. The Natural? It's not so natural. Yeah, I'm not a fan of The Natural. Number two on our list. Okay, this one actually got Sandra Bullock an Oscar award. It was actually nominated for Best Motion Picture in 2010. Now, The Blind Side is based on the book by Michael Lewis called The Blind Side, The Evolution of a Game. The book is excellent. I read the book. I plowed through the book in like just a couple of days. It's the story of Michael Orr, who is a homeless kid, I believe in maybe Tennessee. And he's taken in by this well-to-do family. He ends up excelling in football, going to a Division I college on a scholarship, and eventually he makes it to the NFL. It's a good story. No embellishment needed. It's a phenomenal story. Just tell the story. Stick with the story. But of course, that's not good enough for Hollywood, is it? It isn't enough to have Sandy Bullock take Michael into her home and raise him as her own son, and just see the progress he makes as a person, getting food and getting shelter and getting clothing, the part in the movie where it's like he's never had his own room. Hey, that's good enough. No, that's not good enough for Hollywood. Because Sandy Bullock also has to teach this poor kid how to play football, too.
Give me a minute, Bert.
We're in the middle of practice, Leanne.
You can thank me later. Michael, do you remember when we first met and we went to that horrible part of town to buy you those dreadful clothes? And I was a little bit scared, and you told me not to worry about it because you had my back. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
And if anyone tried to get to me, you would have stopped them, right? And when you and SJ were in that car wreck, what did you do to the airbag?
Stopped it.
You stopped it. You stopped it. This team is your family, Michael. You have to protect them from those guys, okay? Listen, Tony here is your quarterback, all right? You protect his blind side. When you look at him, you think of me, how you have my back, how you have his. Okay?
Okay, here's the problem. Michael Orr had been playing football for years. He had been playing organized football. He was really good at football. His coach wasn't an idiot, and he didn't need some middle-aged housewife to teach him how to pet the bunny without killing it.
Oh, what a cute little pink bunny rabbit.
Hollywood just can't get out of their own way sometimes. They have to embellish when there's no embellishment needed. Just stop it. It's brutal, it's painful, and it's not how sports works. That isn't how this stuff works. Number one on our list of sports movies that people think are good and actually aren't. This is another one. It won major awards. It won Best Picture. It won Best Actress. It won Best Supporting Actor. Best Achievement in Directing. And some of it is good. The problem for Million Dollar Baby is that the big finale is like so ludicrous that it totally ruins the movie. So you have Hilary Swank, who kind of looks like Jimmy Fallon in drag, and she becomes a boxer. And she learns to fight from Clint Eastwood, and he doesn't want to train her, and then she keeps coming to the gym, so he kind of takes her under his wing, and he ends up training her. And eventually, she fights her way all the way to a championship fight. And she's winning the fight when she's hit after the bell, falls onto her corner stool, suffers a spinal cord injury that leaves her paralyzed for life. No, I'm dead serious. And do not email me or tweet at me and say you ruined the ending. This movie's been out for like 20 years. If you haven't seen it by now, that's not a spoiler alert. I'm just telling you how it goes. Now, at this point, Hilary Swank is forced to live like in a shady, kind of horrible nursing home, which is kind of odd, considering wouldn't she be the champion now? Because, I mean, it was a late punch that resulted in one fighter not being able to continue. So it would either be a disqualification or they would go to the scorecards. And on the scorecards, Hilary Swank was way, way up in the fight. So she's the champ. Long story short, they end up euthanizing her like a dog. I'm dead serious. Again, sorry if this is a spoiler alert. That's how Million Dollar Baby ends. This is one of the most lauded sports movies of our time. I'm not even kidding you. Yeah, it might be just a tiny bit overrated. Not a fan of Million Dollar Baby. And some of these movies that Hollywood jams down our throat, you can just tell. Hollywood doesn't know anything about sports. Hey, next week, like I said, College Basketball Selection Sunday is coming quickly. We are going to look at some of the best players that could be in the tournament that you might not know just yet. Which NBA teams are going to win the number 8 seed? We talked about that last week a little bit. Number 8 seed is pretty wide open, especially in the West. Who could win that thing? And the NFL seems to always be in the news. You may have seen the Pittsburgh Steelers have signed Antonio Brown to a new deal that makes him the highest paid wide receiver in the league. We didn't expect that, but that's just kind of how the NFL is in the offseason. You never know what's going to come next. And of course, you've got to show up next week and check out the Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way that's going to go. Hey, please, wherever it is that you download the show, just go click that little subscribe or follow button. It helps us get seen by a few more people, and you'll be sure not to miss any new episodes. Feel free to contact us. Got a question? Got a comment? Maybe you disagreed with some of the movies that made our list? Feel free to email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Be sure to do any shopping you might need at lootcrate.com/dailydose and enter Daily Dose in that coupon box. You will get 10% off your order. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.